Why has there been this insane delay in charging people for apartheid-era crimes?
When we don't address what happened during apartheid and when there isn't a real examination of the terrible atrocities that happened, Chester, it empowers people to talk nonsense about white genocide. I'm scared I'm going to say something that you're going to use as a riff to rip me off for the rest of my life, and the internet will never forget, but...
There's a word for that. It's called bantaholomisuing. You can teach.
You teach him to fish. You give him...
The NPA delivered zero convictions from the state capture inquiry, in spite of costing R1 billion, which is almost as much as Kenny Konani's clothing allowance.
And after years and years of people being targeted, Chester, for doing too good a job,
it turns out the one thing the ANC can deliver on is commissions.
It is found that high-level ANC politicians are somehow complicit in all of this. I think will be fatal to the ANC. I've argued that it will be the end of the Ramaphosa and ANC, and probably the ANC in its entirety. This terrible thing where, you know, I fundamentally believe that our country is full of amazing people and we deserve so much better than the leadership that we have.
Welcome back to another episode of Real Problem with Chester Missing, where you watch a ball of latex on the internet explain the facts. It turns out the one thing the ANC can deliver on is commissions. To explain it all, I have one of South Africa's best journalists and all-around great person. It's Karen Morn. President Ramaphosa has set up the Madlanga Commission in response to General Mkhwanazi's claims about corruption in the police force. Mm. Can you explain for the stupid kids watching today, and by stupid kids, I mean Fikile, what the commission will actually do? Is this just another waste of money? Let us know.
Well, essentially what this is I think State Capture Commission part two, right? Now we have Lieutenant General Mkhwanazi's allegations that, you know, the political killings task team, which he says was a highly effective unit, it is very controversial in and of itself, has effectively been thwarted by the police minister to stop it from investigating what he describes as criminal infiltration of the entire justice system. So it's not just about the police, it's about the NPA, it's about judges, it's about the SSA, it's even about the Metro Police, Chester.
Yo, those bastards!
Yeah, you always
knew. How much knickknacks must we pay?
Yeah, exactly.
I knew they were scoundrels.
Yeah. So that Chocho apparently, you know, could be going far deeper than just the 20 rand or whatever is goes for a bribe. I don't pay bribes, guys.
Of course you don't. Never.
Ever in my life.
Not once.
I live,
no
KFC. And I take Ubers, yes.
Can I tell you a secret?
Yes.
This bastard down here once used me as a bribe. They said, hey, you're caught speeding. And then they said, well, would you like a selfie with Chester? And then they let him go. I think you should go to jail for that. That's going to be a
bit better. I mean, how does it make you feel to be, you know, an agent of such corruption?
Because I'm fine with it, to be honest. I'm fine with it. I got given ties by Melusi Gigaba once. So, and it's not a literal ties. So I literally have Gupta ties.
Oh, wow. Ties to the Guptas and Gupta
and
ties.
And actual ties.
Amazing.
Amazing. I know. I'm amazed that that hasn't been taken up by journalists such as you. I probably shouldn't
have
mentioned
it. No, I know.
It's out. News 24 is going to take me down.
Yeah, exactly. Tomorrow, expect it.
I'm toast. We should have a word for when politicians waste money like this, quite frankly, I think. They're going to Dali and Pofu the money. They're going to Gayton McKenzie's salary the money. Listen, you know, we have, as you've said, we have commission after commission where almost nothing happens afterwards. Why will this Madlanga Commission be any different?
Well, I mean, I think at this point, people, I have a different view on the effectiveness of the State Capture Commission. I think that what it did was why it didn't get sort of criminal accountability in the way that many of us would want, and I think we should democratically have. But I think it had a kind of political repercussion in that, you know, the ANC gets exposed as an organized criminal enterprise in all but name, and it does nothing about it. And elections follow, and the electorate makes certain decisions about no longer putting that party in the majority. And I think that the stakes, Chester, are so high for it now. It knows that this years and years and years of just taking it for granted that voters are going to vote for you no matter arms deals and lack of TRC enforcement and all the other litany of you know, life isidimeni and, you know, Marikana, the travesties that have occurred under this government, they know that now there's a point at which the public just goes, hell no. And so for the government to have far-reaching findings and recommendations made and for there to be no action, particularly if it is found that high-level ANC politicians are somehow complicit in all of this, I think will be fatal to the ANC. I've argued that it will be the end of the Ramaphosa and ANC and probably the ANC in its entirety.
Yeah, because from where I'm sitting, this sounds like every commission is just the ANC's way of saying fuck off and footsack. And now it turns out it's our way to go fuck off and footsack. So, amazing.
You know, it's this terrible thing where, you know, I fundamentally believe that our country is full of amazing people and we deserve so much better than the leadership that we have. But what's happened with our commission is the commission culture is literally, it's like your body politic is opened up and exposed and all the cancer, all the rot, everything that is wrong is made visible to everyone. And then at the end of that, the people who have the power to go out and take that cancer out, to treat the disease, to actually remove the tumors, just go, okay, well, now we know, and let's have another task team or a national dialogue, and let's leave this body rotting here, and we have to sit with that awareness.
Yep.
And it's not democratically helpful, and it's really an insult to every decent South African, of which there are many, 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 many of us. I yep. believe we're the majority, who really
let's
want the country
so.
To work. Yes, exactly.
Listen, you know, can the ANC do anything to survive this Madlanga commission? I mean, what would it take for them to actually turn the boat in this? Because it does seem like it's the final episode of a series, doesn't it? The White Walkers are coming. And by White yeah. Walkers, I mean Helen Ziller.
I think 100%. I don't, you know, it's really about that issue of accountability, Chester.
Mm.
Like, that's what people are craving. Like, we have normalized a culture in which serious accusations and evidence are leveled and findings yep. are made, especially in the Zondo inquiry, and
yep.
the Chief Justice has actually spoken about this. You know, you have serious, serious evidence emerging against people. And then, as he points out, he has to swear them into office as ministers or they're getting positions in parliament.
He literally complained about that the other day.
Yes,
didn't he?
And to the Sunday Times, and rightfully so.
That must be bloody weird.
Can you imagine? There you are. You've given like 3 years of your life, 4 years of your life to investigating, like unbelievable hours. You've literally said you should fire this person. This person is implicated in corruption. There's undisputed evidence of them getting money from various nefarious people. And next thing, you know, you have to swear the guy in.
That must be really weird.
Yeah.
That must be like getting food poisoning and then having to go back to the same restaurant the next day.
To keep eating at the buffet.
Yeah, to keep eating. Well, literally.
Exactly.
It's not even a metaphor. Listen, what is the process of a commission? Like, what actually happens? Step one, invite people. Step two, listen. Step three, ignore everything they said. What's Madlanga got to do now?
So what's interesting with this is there's kind of a reiteration of what happened with State Capture One, in that Ramaphosa's given very wide terms of reference to this investigation.
Yep.
So essentially, it's like all criminal corruption, organized infiltration of the criminal justice system on every level.
Yep.
And it has the potential to go far beyond just the 6 months. I think everyone is kind of thinking that it's going to blow up just like Zondo did, essentially. And what can happen, they want to set up a website where people can release evidence that they say is pertinent to alleged criminal infiltration of whichever body of law enforcement, even the judiciary, and they can then investigate it. They're starting with Lieutenant General Mkhwanazi. They said they were going to meet with him and then obviously look at stuff like the WhatsApp messages, you
yep.
know, bank records, the things that he says this political killings task team managed to unearth, which they claim implicates people like, for instance, Police Minister Senzo Mkunu.
Yeah.
And then I think from that, depending on that initial Mkhwanazi investigation and then what comes from the public and what comes out of the various mechanisms that are open for ordinary people to come forward and say, this is what's happening, they're going to conduct that investigation and lead evidence and testimony. Of course,
wow.
The interesting thing will be,
yeah.
given that, you know, we know people like Kat McClala are so
yeah.
highly implicated.
I love that guy.
And I mean, I wonder if you know, someone like him is going to come from correctional services to come give evidence or, you know, and I'm very interested in if those some of those inquiry processes will be closed. I mean, Madlanga has made it very clear that he wants a totally open inquiry as much as possible. But, you know, there's going to be, I think, a very interesting little push-pull with people saying, oh, well, you know, this is an ongoing investigation. We can't jeopardize this. The public shouldn't know. And that just this intense need to really open the wound on this whole thing and expose what's really gone on.
I've got a legal joke for you. It's for legal nerds only. What's the term for when you have to be behind closed doors?
In camera.
Exactly. Ironically, there's no camera. I'm out. It's an in-camera joke, guys. Follow this podcast for the best political legal jokes.
The
only Karen Morn and two other Daily Maverick and, I don't know, City Press journalists will get. Karen, listen, man. The NPA delivered zero convictions from the state capture inquiry in spite of costing R1 billion, which is almost as much as Kenny Konani's clothing allowance. I'm confident your average Checkers 6060 driver could deliver prosecutions faster than the NPA. Why is the NPA so incredibly cuck?
Well, this is the fascinating thing, Chester, is that over the years, there were a series of what I would argue were weaponized commissions of inquiry, which the ANC either used to try and undermine the NPA or effectively ignored to the detriment of the NPA. I don't think that there's like necessarily the kind of honesty and cleaning up of the NPA under Shamila Botoy that they needed to be to try and deal with that.
Does she not have the political backing to actually fire the people she needs to fire? Is that what's going on?
That's the debate. I mean, certainly it took a long time for Ramaphosa, the president, to agree to suspend and conduct an inquiry into Andrew Tshoke, the DPP of Joburg. But
yeah.
I also think that there's just a fundamental problem. Like if you've had so many years of such poor treatment of people and who are doing their jobs, you breed a paralysis culture where people are not wanting to do anything because that's the safest bet. And that's where we are now.
If you stick your neck up, you'll get fired. I mean, it's nuts. It's like the Home Affairs of Justice.
Exactly.
Yeah, why has there been this insane delay in charging people for apartheid era crimes that were exposed by the TRC?
Well, this was the original sin of this commission's unaccountability culture that we have, because we know the TRC said there were 300 odd cases.
Yeah.
Where they denied amnesty for various reasons, amongst them that the people weren't honest about the murders and disappearances of kidnappings from, you know, the Craddock 4, Fort Galata, Nokutile Simalani, you know, Alma Timol, a wide variety of activists who literally gave their blood for this country. And they said, no, the NPA must look at this and consider possible prosecution. And this was, of course, you know, really reached its zenith during the leadership of Vusi Pikoli, who was very passionate about justice for those people. One of his very close friends had been murdered by the apartheid police and thrown in a river. And so, you know, he speaks very passionately on this issue. But I think it's something that resonates across our society. And, of course, that that push, you know, he wanted to hold Adrian Flock, amongst others, he was then the apartheid law and order minister, accountable for the attempted poisoning of Frank Chikane. Yes. And he said that move was weaponized by certain people within the ANC already unhappy that, you know, they were pushing for Zuma's prosecution, Celebi's prosecution, and Celebi himself pushed this. So there was this big pushback against apartheid era prosecutions, and this argument was effectively advanced, and this is what this inquiry that's been instituted by President Cyril Ramaphosa now is to investigate, that, you know, that these apartheid prosecutions should be blocked because they could open the door for potential prosecutions of ANC members who were denied amnesty by the TRC. And so as a consequence, you know, blatantly vicious extrajudicial murders where people had been denied amnesty were not prosecuted. And many families still don't know, like Nokutula Simelane's family, still don't know where her body is, because there was this absolutely horrific delay in these cases being prosecuted.
That's disgusting, Karen. Are you telling me that the ANC has actively blocked, by the looks of it, justice for the victims of apartheid to defend themselves?
Yes.
That is disgusting. It's despicable. I would say it's completely shameful, but clearly the ANC has run out of shame. They have shame shedding. Footsack, shame on you. Listen, one last thing before we wrap up. You're a very aware white South African, my experience of you so far. Why does it change things in South Africa for white South Africans to acknowledge what apartheid and its legacy gave them?
You know, Chester, like, oh, I get so emotional when I talk about this. And I know it's supposed to be a funny podcast. So
No. Yeah, we're getting real now. But, it's real. I'm also latex condoms are serious. Let's do this.
So I've had experience over the years of telling the stories of these families who are still looking for their children's remains, their sister's remains. They have no idea what happened to them. And, you know, like people won't leave homes where the child that disappeared after the 1976 uprisings, like that home that they know, because they're scared the child's going to come back as an adult and they won't be able to find them. And, you know, in many of these cases, pretty much all of them, it's very obvious that the child or the young person or the activist is deceased. But because these families don't have answers, they literally live in the grip of these kind of ghosts that they can't put to rest. And how it was explained to me by, Nokutula Simelane's mother was that she believes that if she can't bury Nokutula, Nokutula's soul is essentially adrift in the afterlife, and she's not with her people, because there's this belief that when you bury the person with their family's members, then they're with their ancestors, they're with their relatives, and they're safe. You know, they're not just in, you know, like lost in the hereafter. And it's a very painful thing, because people are living not just with the like loss of that person. Like Nokutula Simelane's mom kept saying to me, she keeps thinking she's gonna walk through the door. She kept her, because she'd been disappeared by the police in September 1983, going to the Carlton Center to buy shoes. And she was never seen again. And she was buying shoes for her graduation. And her mother still has the graduation gown.
My goodness.
I just think it's a different kind of pain. And what I find so difficult is that, like, you come in there as a white person and you've benefited from this system, but people will tell you their stories with so much grace and so much humility. And all they want, like all they want, all Mrs. Simelane wants is her child's bones so she can bury her. And yeah, it's just, I find it so unbelievable that people don't grasp the kind of emotional and spiritual degradation that comes from a lack of resolution, that you can't even say goodbye to your child. When we don't address what happened during apartheid, and when there isn't a real examination of the terrible atrocities that happened, Chester, it empowers people to talk nonsense about white genocide and white persecution and all this white supremacy, because they have no idea how truly gracious people were in the democratic era. And I think that there's a kind of subtle telling on yourself, you know, because there is an underlying belief that, you know, this whole white genocide mythology. I think people realize that given what had happened to black people in this country, you know, that kind of action could have been a result of the terrible inhumanity that was inflicted on them. But it didn't happen. And people have responded with grace and kindness. And we are an active, diverse, inclusive society that people just, you know, they want so badly to have the shared prospect of a future where we all are empowering each other to go forward and be the kind of future that those activists died for. Because the other consequences of us not doing that is to say that these people, whether they're buried, burnt alive, thrown in ditches, hidden forever in rivers, never going to be found again, that they gave their lives and their families' future senses of peace for nothing. And none of us can ever accept that.
Karen Morn, thank you. And my answer to the people who are in denial, who think there's a white genocide, that it's white people having a hard time in this country, who are in denial about what apartheid gave them. If you're one of those people, you're a cuck person. Look in the mirror and say, oh my God, I'm a cuck person. Thank you, Karen. Thank you for your kindness and your honesty. We really appreciate it. Guys, thanks for watching Real Problem with Chester Missing. Go for it and follow Karen on all the socials. She's amazing. She's where you hear all the news. She's an asset to this country. Let's keep demanding for justice. Guys, like, subscribe, follow, whatever you do. I have an OnlyFans page I've just started. I'm kidding. I don't. I'll see you later. Bye.